Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
And we are recording. Welcome to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devil podcast. I'm Chris, along with Bobby, and who's that? Is that Tony? That's Tony!
Looks like Tony. It is Tony. What's up, Tone?
What's up, guys? Back in the States for the first time in like 3 years.
That's awesome. We're glad you're here. Hopefully when you guys are listening to this, it sounds okay because we are having a little bit of audio issues with Tony. He, for some reason, sounds so much clearer and better when he's recording in Lithuania. But when when you're in Tampa, we can't hear you.
That's right. So don't stay long. But
it is good that you're back, Tone. How was your trip? How's everything so far?
Good, man. You know, a couple good weather so far, but we might have a hurricane coming next week, so that kind of sucks. My wife's like, you know, she's never really been inside one before, had it dealt with one, so they're talking about that as a possibility.
Well, that's Monday, right? We're playing a hurricane?
Wednesday. The hurricane in Florida.
Oh, real hurricane.
Yeah, real one. Sorry. But I'm going to the Devils game on Saturday. It's the Lightning, so we'll, you know, I'll get some clips for Bobby for the social media from the game and stuff.
Big redemption game, right? I mean, they got to go into Tampa and just spank them, just beat them like a redheaded stepchild. Nothing against redheads. So let's say a rented goalie, you got to just beat them like an e-bug, is what I'm saying.
That's it.
But I think we need to jump into a little bit of last night's game.
Absolutely.
Ah, nice.
Boys, I want all your thoughts of this game. And I mean, I don't know where to start. Do we start with the fight, the pass, the 5-on-3 penalty kill? Like, I personally have nothing bad I can say about this game. So I'm going to let you guys start. Bobby, go for it.
Bad. Okay, let's just get the bad out of the way because I'm fishing to even find something bad. It was literally midway through the game. At one point, the shot attempts were 48 Florida, 19 Devils. That's about the worst thing that was going on in this game. They were the Panthers were taking it to us a little bit, but we were leading where it counted in the goals going in. Fantastic game from Markstrom, the game we had to have. This game is exactly why I wasn't worried about the San Jose. I really felt that was the blip. I don't know what else you could say about Dylan stepping up and getting everything going. Like you mentioned, that first pass from Bratt to Hughes. I mean, if that's not one of the best passes you've ever seen, then you've maybe watched a million times more hockey than me. Cause that was just phenomenal, almost in a no look capacity. Devils really needed to get that going. I thought Mercer had a great game, like great vision throughout. Just, you know, really his stamp was on that game a lot. And basically everybody's just stepped up and played the type of hockey that this team can play. So that's awesome. And now I think I originally said, I'll give it to the champs to, you know, learn from this game and they'll fine tune and beat us on the second game. I'm taking that back now. Let's roll with this. Well, they looked really
good. It's like the Nature Boy says, Bobby.
To be the man in the greatest sport in the world, you got to beat the man. To be the man, you've got to beat the man. To be the man.
All right, we can just get Rick saying that over and over again. But yeah, that's it. To be the man, you got to beat the man, and we beat the man last night. Tone, what do you think? I'm sorry, Bobby, you got something else? Yeah.
I got to finish up with one other thing too. Of course, when Dylan took his penalty with the helmet, you hate it because you know they're going down 5-on-3. But I was so glad that he took it once they killed it because it was the same kind of shitty thing that Brady Tkachuk would do, and he did it to Brady, and we killed it off and got momentum from it, and that was just awesome. Like, it couldn't have happened to a better player, and we got away with it. So that was perfect as far as I'm concerned. He could do that every now and then, and we'll risk the goal going in because that kind of getting under the opponent's skin like that, literally throwing Florida's game in their face, was just perfect.
That's the nail on the head right there. I want to touch on what you just said there, but go ahead, Tom. What's your impressions of the game?
to piggyback off Bobby a little bit, man, is Markstrom, first of all, huge game. Luke Hughes made some killer plays last night. Cotter, I love. I mean, I don't know. He's one of my favorite Devils this year.
He Jack deserved James that goal. After the game he yes. had, he deserved it.
Yeah, and, you know, Florida, we know they're tough. And it was you know, I mean, the score was a little misleading at the end of the day when you actually look at what the game was like against Florida. But it's the Florida's only fourth loss this year. You know, can we beat them again this week? I hope so. It's going to be tough, man, you know. But we were even hitting Tkachuk. Dylan, I mean, he stepped up, like Bobby said. And he had a great post-game interview, too. I don't know if you guys
saw
that.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was great. But, you know, a lot of punches thrown, too. That was like an old-school fight right there.
That was the best Devils fight I've seen in, like, 20 years.
That was good. And, you know, Nico, I mean, me and Bobby were talking about this before the show, man, what kind of player Nico is now for this team. And you could just see it. He looks mature out there on the ice. You know, you even see his – I hate to say his expressions, but even, you know, he's sporting the stash now, too. So, you know, I'm excited about this year, man. I think last night we beat a tough team, and it was two of the top teams. I think – I don't know what broadcast. I was watching probably the Florida broadcast I had on because it wasn't the Devils. I don't know if it was like a ESPN or something, but the guy was saying, he goes, these are two of the top teams facing each other. And you can see that, you know, and I think that says a lot since where we came from last year, you know, with the yeah. problems that we had. And people are starting to see how good the Devils really can be, you know, and – I don't know. It's exciting, man. Like, you know, I agree with everything Bobby said. There was a lot of positives last night and not a lot of negatives.
I mean, yeah, there's not. I mean, even Dougie, I thought, had a great game. Yeah. He handled himself very good defensive zone and was pushing the offense. Like you mentioned, Luke Hughes. What a game for Luke. I mean, there was that play that there was a guy coming in, a Panther coming in the right side. He got into the offensive zone. And there was not a defenseman near him. And Luke closed on that guy so fast and got him over to the boards and took him completely out of the play. And that's not shit that, you know, a normal defenseman can do. Like, his game has completely stepped up. And then you go and talk about, like, you know, the newer guys, right? Like, we hung with that team physically, speed-wise, goaltending, everything. And not only hung with them, outplayed them. Like Matthew Tkachuk was a non-entity in that game. And I thought that the Cotter-Nason line did amazing on his line. I thought that the Barkov line was held in check from Nico's line. And Bratt and Hughes were able to do what they wanted to do. And they had some great offensive opportunities. It was such a good game that it's just the one thing I took away, my biggest takeaway of that game is when the playoffs start, the Devils are going to be able to – they're healthy. They can hang with anybody. Any team in the East, they can hang with.
Nason, man, I'm so glad to have him back on this team.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, he is – you know, I liked him when he was here the first time. And, you know, just seeing him back, he just fits. You know, he – yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that last night during the game. He's just perfect in a Devils uniform.
Here's the thing about Nason. He absolutely plays up to who he is and nothing more and nothing less. He knows his role. He knows how to do it almost to perfection. He's not going to go try to break out of character for one moment and risk anything. He's just so solid in what he does, so secure in the type of player that he is, and he's exactly what this team needed. I'm in love with this guy right now.
You know, if you remember the last show when – put your pants on, Bobby. The last show we did when we were talking about we were talking about like our predictions for this coming road trip down in Florida. And I said, because I really don't know what the Devils are yet, because I don't know where to classify them. I think they're a good team, but what kind of team are they? Like, I think I had a good idea after that game of what kind of team this is. This is a team that will capitalize offensively on any mistake you make. If you are not a Florida Panther type team and you play the Devils the way they played last night, you're going to get lit up for 6 or 7. Defensively, they are phenomenal. I mean, you look at the last handful of games. We gave up 8 in Tampa. We gave up after that 4 spot to Detroit, where we played really good, but we still lost the game. And one of them, I think, was an empty netter. And we gave up a 4 spot against the Islanders in the following game that we also lost, that we ended up tying up and losing in overtime. So essentially 3 goals, you know. And then you go from there. We played, I think, the Ducks, where we allowed 2. Edmonton, none. Calgary, 2. I got mixed up. Vancouver, none, but Vancouver and Edmonton, I got switched. San Jose, one, and Florida, one. Like, look at that last handful of games. You didn't let up more than one goal in any of those games except for Calgary. And that's, I mean, that's impressive. The goaltending is, these guys are playing very good. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than what you're getting from Markstrom and Allen. But this is a really good team. And watching them play Florida, who took that game very seriously, and we, Bobby, you said it, right? We took their game and threw it in their face. They couldn't be, you want to be physical? We're going to be more physical. You want to get under our skin? We're going to get under your skin more. Oh, and it was an awesome game to watch because they didn't remind me of the Devils last year, which never would have come close in that game. Even the Devils 2 years ago when they were all offense and stuff, like this might have been a 5-6 win or a 5-6 loss, right, one way or the other. This team right now is playing so structured. They are all buying into what Sheldon Keefe is selling, and it's working. Yeah. And, you know, Brendan Dillon just dropping the fucking mitts and having that bout. And you saw, right? Like, after that fight, Florida had nothing. They had no answers for the Devils after that fight.
And it seems genuine, too. You know, like last night when the Devils were feisty, you know, in front of the net, especially towards the end of the game, you started seeing it. It was natural. They were pissed off. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, it was something we were missing last, or something we were missing the last three fucking years. But I mean, truthfully, like, you just felt like it was, it just felt like a team that kind of starting to get a little grit to it now. You know, and that's the way they have to be, especially to handle a team like Florida. Like you said it perfect, Chris. Like, Tkachuk wasn't in that game last night. It's hard to keep him out of that game. You know, what they did, they kept him not a factor. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was impressive. And it, like I said, it felt genuine.
I do have a complaint, but it's not at all about the Devils. So I was listening to the Power Play on NHL Network today with Steve Kulias and Martin Biron. I absolutely love Marty Biron. I think he's just a fantastic dude and knows.
I love when you do the podcast as Marty Biron.
I do enjoy it. And he's fantastic. I'll say what I was going to say. I'll say it as Marty. Okay. And Steve Kulias, who I also really like. I think, Nick, there's not many guys that have a grasp on the history and the sport the way he does. And they go over every game and they hit our game. And it wasn't what I expected, which was, you know, let's talk about how great of a game it was. Let's talk about how great the Devils looked, and let's talk about our goaltending. Let's talk about all this stuff. It was, you know, the Devils, they went down to Florida. There was no, you know, they didn't have Bobrovsky in net. They didn't have Sam Bennett. And, you know, there was a big spot there when Barkov had the puck in the middle of the slot there, and a high stick came up and he hit him in the chin. He was bleeding. And there was no call. And I just think that, you know, that's something that's missed there. You know, when Barkov gets hit like that, you got to call the penalty. I get all that. But at the same time, are you trying to fucking tell me they had a fucking almost 2 minute 5-on-3? They didn't score. So one missed penalty, and there were a couple missed penalties on both sides last night. The refs, I think, really did swallow their whistles for that game. They did not. They let the boys play.
Yeah, they did their part to kind of give it that playoff feel, right? It already had it, and then they kind of played like that as far as the rest.
All right, so it was a missed, maybe a 4-minute double minor that was on Barkov, but, like, did Spencer Knight lose them that game? Like, absolutely not. Spencer Knight played fucking really good, and you know, Sam Bennett, okay, he was out of the game, but we were also missing Curtis Lazar and Nate Bastian. Like, you know, those guys are important parts of our fourth line that aren't, and I know Sam Bennett doesn't play fourth line, he plays second, but still, they're important guys that both teams didn't have. And that just kind of annoyed me. Like, they did.
Yeah, I hear you.
It was, and today on the NHL Network, it was all Pittsburgh. Let's just talk about Pittsburgh all the time and what's going wrong there. And who gives a shit about a team that's not going to make the fucking playoffs? I understand everybody wants to know if they're going to start selling off pieces and this and that. But, you know, unless Sidney Crosby's coming to New Jersey, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. They should be talking about Winnipeg. Me and Bobby were talking about Winnipeg.
Dude.
Well, they're in Tampa. Actually, they're actually in Tampa, I guess, today, and they're playing tomorrow. That team is gnarly.
Dude. They're good.
For sure.
They're scary good. They're like better than Boston 2 years ago good. They just seem like they're really pissed off that they got their asses whooped by Colorado in the playoffs last year, and they're not putting up with it. But, yeah, man.
They're not getting over that. That's for sure.
Just, I mean, that's just keep rolling.
And they rolled the Rangers last night.
It did. Always, that always looks good.
When you can take the champs and knock them out in the same night that the Rangers get blown out in their building, it's a very fun day. It's a good night.
It is. We're just seeing more and more games with a lot of crooked numbers up against Shesterkin, man. Like, I'm just saying, like, I still say he's right now. No, Hellebuck's the best in the league right now.
Yes.
Otherwise, I've always said, you know, Shesterkin, call it 1-1A, whatever you want. But man, he's not having a good year.
I mean, if you watch the Rangers, it's Shesterkin's getting destroyed. I mean, he's getting no help at all. The team in front of him is right. For a team made up of quote unquote superstars all over the lineup, right? They're very lazy. They are a lazy fucking team, and they believe that we can just show up and we got the best goalie in the back there. And we've seen the Devils play games like this when they had Brodeur, where they just took nights off and Brodeur gets, you know, shelled and has to try and keep him in the game. You can't do that every night. And the Devils didn't do it every night. It was infrequent, but they're doing it almost every night now that they just, you know, Zibanejad has been MIA all season. I think he has 2 goals or something. You know, Keandre Miller's playing terrible. Truba's playing terrible. Like, you can't, you know, Panarin's fantastic, but like, they finally seem to have everyone always said, like, if they can just get their bottom six put together and their superstars will take over, they can be a Stanley Cup winning team. Well, they have the bottom six, but their superstars are just old. Let's just call it what it is.
It's amazing how fast the mystique falls off too. Like last year, they just had that it factor. Like no matter what they did, they were it. They were winning. It was one of those magical years. It wasn't going to end until it ends in the playoffs. And this year, it just feels like they're not going to find that. They may, you know, they really may at some point during the season, but not like last year. I think they're aging fast, like you said, and they're not getting a lot of help.
Toronto just tied it up. It's 3-3 now.
It did? It's good.
What do you make of the Washington Capitals, Tone?
Yeah, I was just thinking about. I was about to just say that before. What, they have 1 point over the Rangers right now?
I think so. I think the Rangers are in the first wild card spot right now if the playoffs were to start.
I'm not. You know, I mean, I'm not an OV fan. I'm not a Capital fan, but I mean, I'm impressed. I guess it's not that late. You know, we're only basically in the first quarter of the season, but you know, I'm glad they're over the Rangers. I guess, but. Do you guys think Ovi's going to hit the mark this year?
What does he need? 41 to beat it?
Something like that, yeah.
I say, let me see. I just want to check.
He's on pace, they were saying, to do it this year. And then McKinnon's got 30 points already this year. That's, man.
That guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Who, McKinnon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is great. 30 points already. That's who they're talking about a little bit. That if Sydney goes anywhere, is it going to be Colorado? So he is right now. Well, I don't know if this is right. Yeah, he's 63. So 73, 83. He's 29 goals off.
What's he have now? Doesn't he already have like 10?
He has 8. I don't know what he has right now this year, but I think according to this, it's 894 and is Gretzky's record. He has 863. So if I did my math quickly, that's 29, right?
He's going to do it.
I think he's going to do it.
No, that's 31. I'm sorry. He's 31 off the pace. I say he ends with 30 more goals and he has to play all next year just to get one goal. Because look, as soon as he breaks that record, I think he's gone. I think he's back at Russia. He's playing out there. I do not think he's sticking around.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll – I see him doing it next year, like you said. I mean, but he's going to do it. And they're going to make sure he does it. You know,
I think he's going to do it this year.
I mean, there'll be a statue of him outside that arena one day.
There should be. I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we don't like him, he's a fantastic hockey player. And, you know, I would still take – Sidney Crosby over Ovechkin any day. I like the way Sid plays a lot more, but Ovechkin's fantastic. I think what Washington's doing, I think, is sustainable. I do. I think that they have a lot of good young players on that team, and that's a scary team. And
they just got stronger too, right?
Yeah, they just
traded with Pittsburgh. They got stronger down the middle now. So
Lars Eller, yeah. You know. I mean, do you guys think that should have been somebody maybe Fitz looked into? And I don't know if he did or not, but just with Lazar being out and having a guy, because I was watching some hockey the other day or yesterday, and they were showing, I was watching some of the Columbus game. and Kevin LeBlanc is on Columbus now. And we brought him in for the PTO, and he did very well, but it just wasn't enough spots for him, and he ended up going. And that's the one guy I'm watching, and I'm like, there's our fucking Lazar replacement right now. Like, if he would have stuck around, like, that would have really helped our fourth line. And, I mean, Tim had mentioned how, like, the top three lines now are playing a lot more ice time because with McDermott and Dowling in there, they're just not getting the ice time that Lazar and Bastion were getting. So the team's kind of stressing themselves a little bit thin in that top nine. A guy like him would have been great to have right now.
Yeah, well, thankfully, you know, Lazar's not all year, right? And got some depth. And I think Fitzgerald probably wants to keep our little bit of reserve for maybe something a little bigger on the fine-tuning edge come playoff time if he feels we need it.
I tell you. Go ahead.
I was just a couple more points to close out the whole Florida game, and if you've got something different, we can do that. But, I just wanted to mention, number one, early in the game, you see that one play where Timo Meier was racing with the puck in the offensive zone, and he had four Panthers follow him, completely opening up the ice like for everybody else. That's the Timo Meier effect that we need to see more of. I mean, not all the time is a team going to, you know, have four of their guys on the ice chase after you. But that kind of presence and being on the second line, you know, on the other line, you know, not with Jack. Right. That's something we're going to see more. So I think Timo's doing good too. His point pace is just fine, but I think we're going to start to see soon the Timo Meier pace that we saw at the end of last year,
right?
You know, which would have put him on a 41 goal pace, I think, if he had performed all year. I think that's what we're going to get. He's got three goals in four games as of the Florida game, right? Something like that. So, just a thought on that, because he really still does bring an element that we really do need. I think we're just still learning how to actually use that with him.
I completely agree.
He put some body on Tkachuk last night too, man. He hit Tkachuk over by the bench, I believe, in the third period last night.
Yeah. And he needs to do that more. He's a big boy. He's a power forward. Like, you know, go ahead and stir some shit up on your own too.
I think that was the most surprising thing is how quiet some of their big guys were. Like, I know, like, Reinhardt, I thought, had a pretty decent game. You're not going to hold him down. But like you said, Tkachuk was invisible. I mean, Cotter and Nason line did such a great job with them. And they got under his skin and pissed him off. And you notice, like, last year when we played them, right? And he took so many liberties, especially on Nico. And that was, he wasn't even skating past Nico. Now, I don't know how much time they were actually on the ice together, but regardless, like, you know now, like Tony said, the grit's there. Like, you know, remember the third period when one of the Panthers pushed Kovacevic into Markstrom. Everybody got, and there was fist flying. They didn't give a shit. And I just, like, that's the shit we never saw. We never fucking saw that last year. And yeah, it really is it's looking like they're starting to gel, like Tony said, like they're looking like a team. And this team, I think, can be really dangerous, man.
And we talked about it earlier in this early season. We were like, when is that really going to start to happen? We're not seeing enough stick. And then all of a sudden, it just took one play and then the next. And now that quickly, it's actually become part of their game, part of their team mentality. I've got a quote here from Dylan, I think, that we'll look at later. I want to run over those two guys, but I want to do one more thing here just because you had mentioned the goaltending, Chris, like the tandem and how they're doing. And every now and then I run across these advanced metrics that I always tell you I'm not smart enough to do on my own. But I want to read this one off. This one is to give all credit. This is from Daniel Amoa. He's the guy who started the Devil's Report on Instagram. So he's in the industry, like reporter, journalist type guy, has incredible stuff to offer. And he says that in 2023-24, the Devils averaged negative 0.19 goals saved above expected per game. Their point percentage was 494. This season, they're basically saving what is expected and nothing more. This is before the Florida game, by the way, with a plus 0.01 goal saved against per game above expected. So basically even.
Right.
Their point percentage is 611. He goes on to say, now imagine if they had good or great goaltending. I'll argue they have good goaltending as it is. But more importantly, right now, as of game 18, before we played Florida, we were at a 6-11 winning percentage. at an 82 game schedule, that's 50 wins.
Okay.
And that's just take that little bit of change and it's already a 100-point season.
That's right.
Other things included, of course, can change that. But it kind of gives you a really good understanding of what average or better goaltending can do. I feel like we've been getting maybe slightly above average up until the last few days. And now I feel like both Markstrom and Allen are coming into their own. Markstrom specifically, I think we kind of nailed it with Allen with his usage. I think he can be about where he is. But Markstrom had room for improvement. He definitely did. But he showed last night what he can do when it really, really matters. And I'm pretty excited about it. He don't need to be a top five, no. But he needs to be, you know, above that mid grade, somewhere in the top 10, and we're gonna be golden.
And when the team,
I think yesterday he's sorry.
No, go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying yesterday, like last time I'm watching the game, I actually thought of this. I said, "This is a couple saves. There were some saves he was making that we wouldn't have got last year."
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's a big difference.
Absolutely, they and you know they're playing well in front of them. And, you know, there's a lot of communication on that back end, which I like that. When Markstrom's out there, he plays the puck a lot. He didn't get a lot of time to really play the puck against Florida because they were on top of him, you know, a lot. But he talks to the guys. They're constantly in communication. You can tell that that's only going to develop more throughout the year and get a lot better. And, you know, we said that they might come off to a little bit of a slow start just with the new people, the new system and everything. And I don't know if they got off to a very good start. They're having a very good season. And I know, like, being first place in the Metropolitan Division right now, everybody goes, well, if you go by point percentage, but it doesn't matter. If you're in first right now, all you got to do is just worry about your own shit. Just win your games and let everybody catch you or try to catch you. Yeah. And that's it. You don't have to worry about – and look, Carolina's damn good. The Rangers are going to be fine. Washington is a team to watch out for. But if the Devils just win at a normal clip, they're going to be fine. Yeah.
It's very normal to fall back on looking at games played and say these teams have games in hand, and you start to do that kind of math. The more critical way to look at this is basically at this point last year, like through 19 games, we were 9-9-1 with 19 points.
Wow.
This year, we're 11-6-2 with 24 points. Two more wins, one more point from the overtime loss. That's five more points through 19 games. So you multiply that out by four, It's 20 more points this year. Just stay on your pace is the point. Yeah. Like you said, stay on your pace and you're going to be fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the game is over. Toronto came back with a two goal deficit.
Good.
And they tied it up and they just won it in overtime. So Washington took an L.
There you go. So what do you think next week? It goes what? It would go Allen next and then in Tampa it would be Markstrom, right?
I mean, I guess you have to play Markstrom one of these games, right?
You mean
Allen? I meant so. Yeah. So maybe Allen tomorrow, and then Markstrom for Tampa, or I would just run with Markstrom for all three.
Well, yeah, Chris, you said last show you would do all three, and then we got into that conversation. And we had this exact same argument. Why would you put Allen in for one?
What's that, Tony?
In the 90s, they would put him in.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But
would be a question.
I'm now with Chris's original thought that I right now would run Markstrom. If he runs into problems on Thursday's game, then I would think about what happens for Tampa. I'm not going to throw in Allen just to throw in Allen so that we can play Markstrom on Saturday. I would go with him again. That's a hot goalie right now. It was a great game. He deserves the next game.
Well, then I'll ask you this because we play Saturday, and then when's the Carolina game?
It's not till Thursday.
Oh, so we're off from Saturday to Thursday? Then I absolutely would play Markstrom. My whole thing was, you're going to want to get Allen in at some point. And maybe that'll probably be what they do. They'll probably put Allen in tomorrow just because, you know, try to get him that one start a week if you can. But I think building off of what this team did last night, I think that's the way to go. And Markstrom in net. But Allen's been fantastic.
Yep.
What do you think, Tony?
I would go – I like the whole go with Markstrom. But again, you know, as I said a couple minutes ago, I liked it back in the day when Marty would go four or five games in a row. Even if you lose a game, you know, they would still go because they were your top goaltender, man. That's what they were there for, you know. So, I mean, against Florida, I think I would go Markstrom just because if they beat them twice in a row would be, you know, that would be such a morale for this team. They'd be flying out of there to Tampa.
And let me throw this by you. You know, Allen got lit up by Tampa. Bad. Do you run Markstrom tomorrow and make and give Allen Tampa and say, go get him? You go, you know, this is not the same team we were 2 weeks ago. You go and show them that you're not the guy that gave up fucking eight. Maybe?
You could. I mean, you could beat Tampa. Tampa's what, five victories, I think, this year? But I mean, they're still Tampa. But I mean, I don't know. I would go with Markstrom all three, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's fluid. I think you go with Markstrom on the next game and you make your decision after that based on that game.
Okay.
But they won't, though. I'm sure we're going to see Allen in one of
I wouldn't be surprised, games. But I agree. I think I would, if I was going to put Allen in any of these games, I think I'd put him in Tampa just to kind of get his mojo back. And, you know, that was a fluke. I'm sorry. You know, putting eight past one of our goaltenders was a fucking fluke. And you got to show him.
And you're talking about competing against and already beating the Stanley Cup champs. You want to do it twice. If we're a playoff matchup, Markstrom's playing this next game. I just think you need to go in with that mentality. This is critical game. He is the de facto ace, right? You give him the game.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some commercials and then we'll jump into some other shit.
Yippee.
All right. Let's see. So we all love Black Friday and Cyber Monday, right? Because we all get great deals on whatever it is we want to buy. And it's like, oh, man, those are the only 2 days I can get an awesome deal on this, you know, Samsung TV.
Spikes in the lines.
What?
Some good brawls at the store.
Yes, so we can go and stampede people, trample people at Walmart. But so if you want to avoid getting trampled or trampling somebody yourself, I say you don't have to wait for Cyber Monday or Black Friday to get those great deals, because Raycon can get you an amazing deal on premium audio every day of the year. But that doesn't mean they're not having any sales for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. They are having sales that you were guaranteed to not get trampled by. Far from it. They're actually doubling down their amazing value by offering viewers of this show up to 30% off site-wide. It's a Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal you'll appreciate every day. Raycon's everyday earbuds, especially if you haven't checked out their latest model, which includes plenty of new features that make them even more of a must-have for any audio lover. Example, now
I'm using some right now.
Tony can definitely use some audio.
Yeah.
But they now have a 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. Raycon's everyday earbuds also come with active noise cancellation, which apparently Tony's using because we can't fucking hear him. It's a feature.
It's all noise cancellation.
It's a feature that's a must-have on long flights or podcasts with Tony. And Raycon's quality rivals some of the biggest names in premium audio. Raycon starts at just half the price as the other guys, so they're already an incredible deal, even before you factor in their Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales of up to 30% off site-wide. Raycon's everyday earbuds are also available in a variety of vibrant colors, so you don't have to be boring with your standard issue white or black earbuds sticking out of your ears. And now is the perfect time to scoop them up if you haven't already, and don't worry if you're not as impressed as we all are with our Raycons. They will offer you a 30-day happiness guarantee, so you really cannot lose. It's time to save big for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get up to 30% off site-wide. That's right. You'll get up to 30% off everything on Raycon's website when you go to buyraycon.com/THPN. You know, Bob, my daughter was about to trying to go to a concert tonight out in Brooklyn. And really? She was looking at tickets and she was like, they're just a little bit too much. I went to Game Time and I checked them out there. And they were still a little bit pricey, but a lot cheaper than what she was seeing them for. So I just wanted to share. So why don't you tell us more about Game Time?
Just really glad that you mentioned that, because if ever there's an app that doesn't need Black Friday, it's Game Time. For those who are not going on apps, it's gametime.co, as in C-O. You can look them up on your regular web browser. Everybody knows the excitement of going to a real live hockey game. Tony, bringing the family there just in a couple of days, right? It's nothing quite like the atmosphere. If you're looking for tickets to a game, try the Game Time app. It's got this new picks feature, which makes getting tickets to see your favorite New Jersey Devils play easier than ever. The picks filter simply filters out the fluff so that you only see the incredible deals on the seats that you want, and you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And as Chris mentioned, it's not just for hockey games. You can get concert tickets, comedy, anything you're looking for. This is the ticket site you want to use. I did go on today. I looked at tickets for Tony's game. I saw some valuable seats. They're going to probably even drop down a little bit lower as we get closer to it. Check out Game Time for those tickets. A few features to mention are the priority picks. It simply is a curation that makes it easier for you to save more on all the venues you're looking for. The all-in pricing is a toggle feature so that you will not be shocked at checkout. You'll know exactly what you're going to pay before you do it. And they're backed by one of the lowest price guarantees, or you'll receive up to 110% of the difference of your cost. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. No Black Friday needed. You just put in THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create the account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
And with all that money,
he says with a smile,
with all that money that you saved on Game Time, you can take that savings and invest them in something solid, like betting on a Stanley Cup, because the chase for the cup starts right now, and the puck has dropped on the 24-25 season, and you can get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And if you're new to DraftKings, new customers bet $5, you get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use code THPN, and new customers get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/ice. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours.
Chris, who do you guys got this weekend? Your Vikes.
We are playing the Tennessee Titans, the Will Levis-led Tennessee Titans. And hopefully Sam Darnold can throw more balls to guys in purple than to guys in whatever fucking color they'll be wearing.
I saw he was on the news yesterday because I guess he was linked to that Hawk-Tui girl.
Sam Darnold was?
Yeah, Sam Darnold was. There was something on like some news thing yesterday. I guess she denied it, but I guess they had went out once or some shit like that. But yeah, I thought of you right away.
Sam, you actually, dirty dog.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's, who knows if it's true, but that's what they say.
Cool.
But yeah, but your Vikes, though, I was watching like what? So you guys were rolling, right? And you know, my team has been awful all year, so I have no room to say anything. And I'm like, how crazy it was that the Vikes lose that one game and they lose two. I mean, this team was rolling.
Yeah. And well, you know, you played Detroit. They're a phenomenal team. And
you suspected, you told me, hey, I'm worried about Detroit.
And
you said that to me.
We should have won that game. They had the ball. They could have run the clock out with the lead. They didn't get the first down. They had to punt it over to Detroit. And all Detroit had to do was get in the field goal range. You lose by two. You had a 1-point lead. All right. And then the Rams game was only 3 days later, 4 days later. They played on Thursday, and they dropped that one. So going 5-0 and then being 5-2 in a matter of 4 days or whatever, that was a little rough. But they came back. They played not a great game against the Colts, but they ended up winning it. And then, again, Jacksonville, they did not score a touchdown, but our defense is fucking sick. And they were great, and we won that game. I do think next week, Sunday against Tennessee, I expect our offense to be clicking again. I don't expect these same mistakes from Darnold. I expect at least 2 to 3 interceptions from Levis, and Minnesota wins by 10 or more. That's my pick.
Do you see any? I'm the Raider Kansas City game. I'm gonna. Yeah, obviously we lost that game, but dude, I'm telling you, the Raiders could have beat them 3 different ways that game. That was a game the Raiders really. I mean, this season has been a nightmare.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if you watched any of that.
I did.
But we had such opportunities to snatch that game away from them. I'm so tired of I mean, they're a great team. I know what you always say. If you like watching greatness. But they're not that great this year. They just keep on fucking winning.
They do.
And somehow they pull off. And that's what great teams do, I guess, actually, in a way. Is they find a way to win anyway. But God damn, do I hate that. Well, I'm so tired of seeing them win every weekend. I mean, even I was even rooting for Denver, and I hate the Jackasses. That's why
I'll tell you, Broncos. I see what you're saying. And if they were in my division, I'd feel the exact same way. Because, oh, yeah. I mean, look, the refs give Patrick Mahomes every call. They really do. They did the same thing. All right, Bobby, we'll be done in a minute, and we'll get back to hockey. and then, you know, they used to do it all the time with Brady and stuff. And I get it. You know, they're your franchise. They're the NFL. You know, they market everything around Patrick Mahomes. They don't want the guy going out for a season-ending injury, so they're going to fucking treat him with kid gloves. I'm fine with that. But I'll say this. There's so much hate about Kansas City. You go to that Denver game, right? They had no business winning that. It's a chip shot field goal. Denver wins. And then it gets blocked, something that never happens. But if I listened to an interview with the guy that blocked it, and during one of their other kickoffs or field goals or extra points, he went up to the special teams coach and he said, I can roll my guy. Like, I have no problem that the guy that's trying to block me cannot block me. I will block something. Like, that's good coaching and good players. Like, I know everyone hates them because they win, but they win because they have players like that on their team and they're coached well. So I get it, but, you know, it is kind of annoying. I want to see him go undefeated and lose to the Vikings in the Super Bowl. That's what I want.
I think everyone's getting tired of them now. It becomes that. We saw it with the Patriots. Sure. You know, we saw it with the Yankees, the Cowboys. I think it's becoming that because I'm starting to even see people all around being like, okay, we've had enough. Like, they always find a way to pull it off. And it's like,
how great is it going to be when the Devils are the team Raiders, everyone hates? Yeah, all they do is win.
Say this, no. The Raiders will beat Kansas City. We will be their first loss this year because we are the one of the worst teams in football, and the worst teams in football are usually the teams that take down the big
– especially divisional games.
Yes, and we beat them last year on Christmas. It was awesome, and we're going to beat them. I'm hoping. I mean, I could sound like a real jackass in 2 weeks, but, hey, Raiders going to be their first loss.
I like it. I like it, and when I do my pick'ems, I will pick them to win that game.
And you need something to get you through this miserable season. So go ahead. You can look forward to that. Yes. That's great. Hey, listen, I got nothing against football. I'm just thinking after 17 minutes of commercials, we come back with hockey and then maybe blend into football later because that's what people are waiting for.
The new guy did it.
The new guy did it.
All right, so let's talk hockey because we do have a huge game tomorrow, which is just so weird that we're playing them in their barn again. You know, like, okay, home and home is one thing, but I don't remember the last time I saw a regular season playing two games in a row against the same team in their building. But anyway.
Which is kind of shitty if you're the Devils when you see it on the schedule at the beginning of the season. You're like, oh, we got to play these guys twice in a row.
There's nothing about the schedule that the Devils looked at and they were happy about this year so far. I mean, yeah. The fact that, you know, Saturday to Thursday, that's nice. And we're going to have a few weeks coming up like that. They banked a lot of points during a rough patch of their schedule that's awesome because now they can actually get practices in. They talked about that ad nauseum on the broadcast last night on ESPN. These guys had like two practices since the season started. Like, that's insane. And they're still playing this well. Like,
yeah, I would normally not like four straight days of no games, but I think this particular break's coming at the right time to focus on a few more things. We do have a lot of games played against most other teams in the league. So it'll also help just kind of clear up, you know, most of those teams are going to play two games while we're sitting there. So it's going to kind of bring everything back level. And then you have a really good look at where we truly are and where we can go, because I think we're only scratching the surface of how good they're getting. Like, I think we're just starting to propel to how good we're going to be.
I agree. And if you look at this team right now, when they start getting practices and they start getting some rest, they can sit and start watching some other teams. The schedule gets, you know, like, we haven't played Pittsburgh yet. We haven't played Columbus yet. Right. We haven't played, we did play Buffalo. And we did play, I think, one game against Detroit. But there are some, like, worse teams. We haven't played the Flyers yet. Like, there's some teams there, some games coming up that, you know, we should have, you know, really good. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing us play Winnipeg because I want to see how we play against them. Looking forward to us playing.
To your point, we got to get through this month first.
Yes, this month is brutal.
After Carolina, which sucks, they're hard to play against. Surprising Washington Capitals, Nashville Predators, and we got the Blues, then we got the Wings, and then we're back to the Capitals. That closes out the month. All right. So we're still not getting any of those teams you're talking about for another couple weeks.
Okay.
Who is the worst team this year, you guys think, so far? If you had to say, like, who is the – in the whole league, who would be the worst?
The worst team?
Is it Columbus this year?
No. Columbus plays with some heart. There's – okay, so you're saying, like, who do I think is, like, a bad team or who's, like, really
– who's the worst team this year? Like, team that's going to probably finish with, like, you know, maybe 20 wins.
I would say Anaheim or San Jose, but I think San Jose can I mean, if they were to win 20 games, that would be huge for them. I mean, I don't even know what they won last year. I think they had like 30 something points.
I don't know that we're going to have one of those historically bad teams again this year. I think the bottom are all going to be more level.
Yeah.
I mean, like right now, the last place team, at least in a statistical tie with the Ducks, Columbus, and the Canadiens, are the Predators. And we've kind of busted their balls a lot lately, but I don't think they're going to sustain this type of losing. I think they're going to at least become a respectable, you know,
club. But what is that? But what is a respectable club for Nashville? They're not making the playoffs.
Over 500 and not making the
playoffs. You spent that kind of fucking money. You brought in all these.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah. Like, and then, and to, cause you're, it's over. They're not going to do what Edmonton did last year and go on some ridiculous run where they only lose three or four games the rest of the year. So the playoffs are out now.
But they are, they're 5-9-2.
Yeah.
So a 4-game winning streak or 6 out of 8
right.
brings them back to 500.
Right. And then what does that do for everyone else in the division? They're going to go and lose 6 games in a row, everybody above them. Like it's just, you know how this works when you're in a position like this, where you have to chase now against some really good teams in a tough division. And teams that I think are legitimately better than them that even haven't been playing well, like Colorado has not been playing great, but I think they're a lot better than Nashville is. When they're both healthy and playing their game, Nashville just doesn't, they're not meshing. I can't blame Andrew Brunette. I feel bad for him. Like he obviously knows what he's doing. This guy coached Florida to a President's Trophy. He took a team last year that was out of the playoff hunt and went on like an 18 game, not winning streak. I think it was like 16-0-2 in 18 games or something that they ended up getting points out of a straight 18 and they made it into the playoffs. So he knows what he's doing. This is a locker room problem. Like this is something's not right with them. And I don't know what the fuck it is, but,
well then let's go back to the original question then, right?
I'll say Nashville.
Are you suggesting it could be Nashville. Could be the bottom.
Nashville is the worst team in the league right now. Cause I can make excuses of why other teams maybe aren't that great. Like you look at Columbus, like, yeah, they're not good, and they're going to lose a shitload of games. But look what that fucking team has been through in the last year. Like, win for them, I'm happy to see. Like, I root for them now because of everything they went through.
And I'll be honest, I was talking to my wife about this. There's times where I'm like, man, I can't believe Johnny Gaudreau's gone. Like, I actually just still to this, you know, you still be
driving. Yeah, it's awful.
Like, damn, man. I can't believe that Gaudreau's gone.
I think about him every time I'm watching a Blue Jacket game. Like, you know, how would he be affecting this game right now?
Even the Flames, I think, you know,
it sucks. And then, but like, you take some of those other bottom feeders, you know, like you're going to say that San Jose is actually a bad team. And I said this on the last podcast, they're not a bad team. They're a young team. They're an inexperienced team. They're not bad. They just beat us. They shut us out. Now, I understand that was Mackenzie Blackwood's Super Bowl, Daytona 500, and World Series, Stanley Cup Final all rolled up into one. Like, that was it. He peaked, dude. You're done now. You know, that's all he wanted. What was that, Tom?
Didn't they beat us last year, though?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a certain period where they beat us, too, where we were having the same conversation about that, you know, it was just like we thought. You kind of think it's an easy win. You go in there, and they take you out.
But last year, I would say they were bad. Like this year, I think they are so much better and they play better than their goaltending has been better. But like, do you remember who beat us in that game last year? Who the goalie was?
Kapo
Kakinen, who was just picked up off waivers.
And actually, Chris, you picked last year you picked San Jose to only have like 12 wins or some shit.
Well, they started like 0-10 or something terrible. And this year they started like 0-7.
The other difference, quite frankly, is our team this year versus last year is completely different. They played a good game. They should have won that game. They just didn't win that game, and that shit happened.
Look, any
and
other
it's not surprising.
I mean, any other goalie, you Devils are at least scoring two or three in that game. You know, Blackwood was not, you know, sometimes you get goalied. Like, we got fucking goalied.
It's one of those stories. Exactly. Yeah, it just happens.
And you know he was pumped up for that game, man. He said, that's him. That's like the Super Bowl, by the way. You know,
yeah. But I don't consider them a bad team. I can throw a bunch of teams into that category. Montreal, I mean, they make – Montreal's problem, too, is like they have goal scorers. Nicole Caulfield is leading or tied for league lead in goals. So, I mean, they have great players. They're just, again, young. The structure's not there. And if you look at, like, kind of what Montreal hasn't done, like, they haven't brought that big-name veteran in that I know of to really kind of help. These guys are kind of all figuring it out on their own. Where Anaheim has brought in, like, the Rocco Gudises, and you had San Jose bringing in Toffoli and stuff like that. And I like that, to give the veterans, you know, to have these young guys help show them the way. But I don't think they're bad teams. I think they're young. Now, I'll say, like, I think the Red Wings right now are bad. I don't even know if they won. They were beating Pittsburgh. I don't know if they won. I think Pittsburgh right now is really bad. I think Nashville right now is really bad, but just because they're not in the bottom of the points, it doesn't mean to me that they're a bad team. Like, to me, Pittsburgh is a lot worse than fucking San Jose right now. You have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang on your team, and you cannot fucking win. Like, I'm sorry. That's just
like one overtime tonight against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, 3-2 Red Wings.
They did win.
Yeah. Just to finish up my final thought there, because of what you're claiming for Nashville, I'm going to go so far as to say they're going to push it all the way up to somewhere like around 25, 26 in the league. They won't be dead last. They're, you know, the Montreals, the Columbus will fall down.
I don't think they'll be dead last, but they'll be the biggest disappointment.
100%.
Who do you think, Tone?
I'm going to pick Columbus, the worst record this year. But to be there, them or Montreal, I would
go. Okay, worst record. That was different. The worst record, I'd probably, if I'm right now, I'm going to give that one to Montreal.
Yeah, it's looking that way.
So, yeah, but
my two picks, my toss up is Montreal and Columbus.
Now, what do you think about Nashville?
I don't know. I kind of agree with what you said about them, man. I really haven't thought much about Nashville this year, to be honest. And I think that, you know, I mean, how much did they wind up spending this offseason?
I think $17 billion. It was more than the presidential campaigns combined.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean.
When they signed.
So now.
Go ahead.
I think they win. I think Nashville bangs out like 22 this year, maybe 23.
No, but now you got me scared, right? Because, like, we did just lose to San Jose, even though we played a good game. We beat the champs. We're going to have Tampa, and then we're going to get Nashville. Like, again, that should be a win. Right, and so they're probably going to beat us.
That's the one you lose.
Okay, so the schedule coming up, right? Florida's tomorrow. Florida, after how we played them last night, they don't scare me. We can hang with them. I would be very surprised if we get our doors blown off. I mean, I can see a 4-1 win the other way tomorrow night. I can see them doing us, but we know we can hang with them. And in a 7-game series, it'd be a lot of fun to kind of see which way that goes. But we know we can hang with them. Tampa does not scare me. That was a fucking fluke. They're not doing it again. And we're going to go into their barn and beat them on Saturday. I'm confident of that. Devils have that game circled. And Tony will have a wonderful night because he's going to be one of few Devil fans there that are going to enjoy themselves.
I'm calling it now. 5-1 win for you, Tone.
Oh, I'm hoping, man. There's going to be, I tell you, I talked to a couple from the Devils all day, all night. They're already down here getting ready for the game. They're actually doing a photo outside of the arena at 5 o'clock for all the Devil fans.
You're gonna be in it?
You know, they do it every year. Yeah, I was in it a couple years ago. Danico came down and was in it with us.
Awesome.
All
awesome.
So they're gonna do that out there at 5. I know that, and yeah, there's a lot of Devil fans. There's actually my two daughters are going. So my oldest daughter has been to two Devils games in Jersey. She went to Pittsburgh and she went to Ottawa, and then this will be her first Tampa game at seeing the Devils. My youngest daughter, this is her first Devils game ever. She's been to a bunch of hockey games over in Europe and stuff like that, but this will actually be her first Devils game. They got their jerseys. They're all ready.
That's awesome.
So I'm pretty excited, man. Either way, you know, it's going to be I see Bobby with his kid at the games, and, you know, he knows, you know, Chris, how it is. It's going to be like a proud moment watching my kids up against the glass door in the opening, this pregame skates and stuff like that. You know, so I'm pretty stoked, man.
Not only am I guaranteeing a win Saturday for you, Tone, Devils are going to do something they haven't done all year so far. And Tampa fucking did it to us first time we played. The Devil player will have a hat trick on Saturday. That's my reckless prediction.
Ooh, Palat. Who would the Devil be?
Palat.
Oh, that would be nice.
If Palat gets the hat trick.
Last game was a good game with Palat.
Yes, it was.
It was. Yeah. It was. Palat has been playing very well. If he gets the hat trick, I will personally lead the apologetic parade I'll give him for 2 weeks. I'm not sold on the entire year, but I will give it 2 weeks of an apologetic parade.
I have big
balls. It'd be a nice story, wouldn't it?
I have big balls, but they're not that big. So I'll say that Jack Hughes gets the hat trick and Palat gets a point on each of it. How's that?
Okay. I like that. Now, bonus points for a natural, or is that just too much?
No bonus point. No, bonus points for a natural. Bonus points for a natural. Now, natural, we have to – that means three in a row in one period. That's what we're going with, right?
Three in a row, period. It doesn't have to be within a period. Just no goals.
Was it back in the day it had to be in the same period, and now they just – there's no goals in between? I'm pretty – okay.
I'm only 24, dude. I don't know. Yeah.
24.
Okay, so – but Tampa doesn't scare me because I think we're going to beat them. All right? Carolina – scares me a little. You know, they're a really good team, and I'm so curious to see how the Devils
Always tough.
What? I didn't hear you.
They're always
Yes,
tough.
They are. All right, so
Carolina's always tough for the Devils.
That's going to be a game I'm a little bit nervous about. We go to
the team that team beat us 4-2 last time. We're not that team anymore.
That's right.
They're probably still the same team that we played, but we are a much better team. I expect and if I recall, that game wasn't lopsided.
No.
We just lost that game.
I think it was an empty netter. I think we were down by one. I think it was 3-2.
So I expect a very fair competition in that. I mean, I don't know that we're going to win it because they are that good, but I am not scared of that game. No. I think we come away from that looking good.
That game makes me a little nervous because I'm just more curious to exactly what you said. I want to see how this Devil team playing the way that they've been playing the last few nights or last probably 5-6 games. How are they going to be against Carolina? Now, after that is Washington. And Washington doesn't scare me either. I mean, I was just pumping their tires about how good they are, but we did beat them and it took them overtime to beat us when we played. So we already played them twice and we got 3 out of 4 points out of it. They got 2. So I'll handle that. And who's after Washington?
That's the Predators.
They don't
on Monday.
Yeah, I'm not going to just say everything I said and say they scare me. No, but we'll roll them.
And then the Blues.
We'll beat them, even though they right, always give us fits. Yeah. And that was where.
Then we have the back to back with the Red Wings and the Capitals.
And then we're done with Washington. So we're done with Washington after another 2 weeks.
Washington. Yeah,
I will say Ovechkin's always a pain in the ass for the Devils, though.
Nashville and the Blues.
No, Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has. But, you know, Nashville and the St. Louis Blues always get the Devils fits. And I just think that this team has a whole different vibe that I've just, you know, kind of saw it in the beginning of the year a little bit. And then, you know, when they were figuring things out, kind of that couple of weeks there that we're like, what's going on with the 4 in a row losing and stuff? But since that 4 in a row losing streak, they kind of have been a different team. And, you know, this is a team like I can't remember the last time I've seen a Devil team play this good defense and goaltending. Like, this is bringing back some memories. Like, this is a team that can do something. What?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to rehash what I've said before, but I mean, Pesci and Luke are really just getting started. Luke is literally getting better every day.
I know.
And Pesci's just getting healthier every day. And, I mean, Luke, forget about the injury. Like, this is just that year where, like, he just seems like he's progressing every single day. I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. Did you see the way he was backpedaling in the zone, skating back? Like, you see it all the time in hockey. But if for as many games as I've watched in my life, for me to see that 10 seconds of acceleration backwards and for it to stick out to me, like, holy shit, most people can't do that. I mean, that's got to mean something. You know what I mean? Like,
he's one of the most amazing skaters I've ever seen. I mean, he really is. Yeah. And like you said, it's tip of the iceberg shit with Luke. And there's going to be so much. Like, he's bound to get one. Like, he's got to get one on this road trip. Like, he's been so close. He's generating offense. And he's been so – and has not been sacrificing the defense at all for that offense. He's got to get
I'm going to make a suggestion. Because last year before Dougie got hurt, I said, why is Luke on PP1? I don't feel like he's earned it yet. Not that he wasn't capable, but I just felt like that was happening. Do you remember that early in the year when Luke was actually getting PP1? Hamilton's not exactly lighting a lamp. He's playing all right. You know, Tim will tell us too, right? He's all on the Hamilton train. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe give Luke a shot a little bit longer.
I'd be fine with that
this year. I mean, why not? You know, it's the same element. When Dougie's on, there's nobody better to win you, you know, a power play goal from the point.
Yeah, but Luke can do it.
Right now he's not on. Yeah. So let's let Luke try.
What do you think, Tone?
Some quick guys are cutting out on me.
Oh, okay. Well, we're gonna wrap it up anyway. So let's try and we got something else, Bob?
I do have one thing I really wanted to get ahead. Out just about
Tony's,
two of our new guys.
Losing Tony a little.
Pretty quick here. I wanted to just focus in on Cotter and Nason specifically and what they've been doing for this team. In the points race for the team, Cotter has 12. That's tied for fifth. Nason has 14. That's fourth. They both have 7 goals, which is tied for third on the team. Cotter's a +2. Nason is an even rating. Cotter has 52 hits, which is first on the team. Nason has 48, which is second on the team. Cotter's 52 are actually ninth in the NHL, and Nason's 48 or 12. I believe that says that was in the NHL, not just for forwards. And then they both have 2 game-winning goals, which is tied with also Jack Hughes, who has 2 game-winning goals. Cotter specifically, he's got his 7 goals in the 19 games that we've played. He had 7 last year in 76 games. And Nason, who had a career year last year, I didn't find where he was at this time in the year, but he's got 7 and had 14 all of last year. He's got 63 more games to eclipse what he did all
for
of last
8 goals.
Year. Right. And then just to finalize kind of where we've been and what we've been talking about today with the culture of the team and the way it's working, there was a quote from Cotter just probably last week. I've been sitting on this for a while. He goes, "Those D know that every time they go back for a puck, one of us is coming to crush them."
Why'd he call them dicks?
He didn't. He said D for defense.
My bad.
Dicks. There was an additional quote that Amanda Stein put out around the same time. Regarding the chippiness after the whistles. And Cotter said, "If you mess with one of our guys, we're all bringing it, especially our captain." Draisaitl / Nico, our whole bench was barking at him. So this is a little old, but the point is that culture change that we talked about is effectively happening, and it's these two guys, not single-handedly, because we can get into the Dylan argument too, what he's doing on the defensive side, but as a forward unit, what they're bringing is just incredible. I mean, some of their stats, they're not the guys you think are going to be up there. And I know it's only 19 games, but they're really proving their worth. And they're really the types of guys that I think, again, your captain's going to take you out of prolonged losing streaks. Jack Hughes is going to do that. Timo Meier's going to get hot. Brat's going to do his thing and get hot. But in the grind of the season, it's these two guys. It's guys like this. They're just not going to let you sink into these long losing streaks.
You're so right.
Who's the most important guy that you think we bought on this? Out of all the guys we bought on new to this team, what do you think is the most important guy in the lineup?
Cotter.
Yeah, I was going to say Cotter too.
I love this guy's game.
Yeah. When he gets the puck, and he did it in this game against Florida, he doesn't fucking give it up. Nobody protects the puck like on this team like he does. And he did one play in the game against Florida. He had the puck in the own defensive zone, and he skated it up into Florida zone. And I think it was on a penalty kill. And he took the puck all the way out, around and back in, and then threw the puck all the way down. Like, he basically did a lap around the rink with the puck. Nobody touched him, and then he cleared the thing. Like, it was – I think it was on a penalty kill, but he's fantastic. You see him; he does not give the puck up. He's physical, gets under people's skin. He's got silky ass hands. I mean, that pass and that goal last night for his was beautiful. I like everything that Nason brings. I like everything Dylan brings and Markstrom, you know, all those guys. But Cotter, I see as being just he seems like an old school Devil to me. And he's very Randy McKay-ish to me, and I just something about him I like.
It's funny you mention that because we've talked before about how my first named Devils jersey ever was the Hughes from the whatchamacallit
Stadium series,
outdoor game, Stadium series, and part of that was we only had three choices, right? It was him, Meyer, and Heischer, and you could have went with any of them, but that's the first name I've ever gotten because I don't like the business side of sports where people get traded. Now, some of our legends that have retired Devils, and surely I can buy them now, of course, Brodeur's and all that, and even my favorite, McKay, but like. As far as if I were to actually do another named jersey, like I'm already thinking Dylan.
Dylan, like, huh?
I just love the way this dude plays the game. And that's what I base my favorite players on, like their style of play, you know, not the best, you know, just.
I like what Dylan's brought. I like what Dylan's brought a lot. I mean, I think he's kind of, I think yesterday was like his coming out party, right? Like he felt yesterday like, oh, this dude is part of this team, you know, and I like that. And I thought that Dylan played a great game. But for me, it's Cotter. But I love everybody that he's brought on. How about you, Tone?
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. I meant Cotter.
Oh, you meant Cotter.
I meant Cotter.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I'm just selling the whole damn thing. I just talked about Cotter. I mentioned all his stats. Like, Jesus.
Damn. I was like, that was a quick switch.
Like, worked all day. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Fair enough.
God damn.
I'm going to go Cotter, man. I'm also glad, like I said earlier in the show, I'm glad to have Nason back. I remember watching Nason in the playoffs with Carolina, and he was one of their better players, I thought, man, watching the playoffs. I always liked him, so he's another one I'm glad. But I kind of picture him as – he's already been here once, so I'm going to go with Cotter as the
– And they have a very similar style.
On the ice that I feel like changes that. Yeah. And, you know, it just changes – having him on the ice, Cotter, just changes it up a little bit. You could feel it's a different dynamic out there for the Devs.
And I'll say one thing before we wrap this up, and it's about these guys too. Like having a mediocre team that has one or two high-flying goal scorers, right? That's kind of fun to watch. Maybe you don't make the playoffs. If you do, you're maybe quick and out. But sometimes it just, you know, it's a decent team with two guys that can score. That might be fun to watch. Or, you know, a boring team that plays defense or whatever. The way that this team's been playing, the physicalness, the grittiness, all those things, that's what brings teams together. It's not all the goals. It's not, but it, nothing makes a team get become a tighter unit than knowing that every guy on the ice with you has your fucking back. And you'll start seeing, you know, I believe the offensive guys really start to turn it up because they're going to feel a lot more comfortable being able to do shit because they know nobody's going to take a run at me, not with Dylan or McDermott or Cotter or Nason or Timo. Like, it's just not going to happen anymore. And I think that's an element that, you know, dare I say it, teams win Stanley Cups that have all that put together. Devils are looking like they're on their way to being a really good team for a really long time in the Eastern Conference.
They got the tools.
We got the tools.
Love it.
We got the talent. It's Miller time. All right. Time to go. We're going to wrap this thing up. Thanks for listening to us. And everybody, send all your Tony love to UnclePuckers@gmail.com. And just because he's here and he sounded like an angel, a very quiet angel.
Very distant angel, like way up in the heavens.
If I can fix this the way that I think I can, the listeners won't know what the hell we're talking about because you'll sound fine. But.
If not, I'm like a mumble rapper, you know? The mumble rappers these days, you can...
Yes, I have so many mumble rappers to mumble about the hockey. The hockey.
I like the hockey. Oh, I like to hockey.
I got to go to the bed. All right, boys. This was fun, and we're out. We'll see you when we see you.
Bye-bye.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!